Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. I want to hear from you. You go to church on Sunday morning, big church, small church, doesn't really make any difference. Would it bother you at all to have security there? And I'm not talking about the ordinary security that has become invisible to us, but the kind of security you encounter, say, at an airport. When you go into an airport, it is very visible. There are guards walking around. There are announcements being made. There are sometimes dogs with their security masters walking about. There are metal detectors. There are long lines. There are body checks. I went through the Denver airport, and I stood in some sort of crazy machine that spun around me and made an interesting noise. I don't know what it was doing, but I couldn't get into the airport or through it without first going through this check. And I know for a fact that on most of the planes I fly lately, there's probably an air marshal. He looks just like me. And his gun isn't held on his hip, but somewhere he's got a firearm trying to protect us on the airplane. So we encounter it every place in life. What about church? Security, metal detectors, security guards, maybe members carrying guns for self-defense. Is this a good idea? A bad idea? Is it a sign of weak faith if we've got to put up all these barriers of security on Sunday morning at our churches? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. It's open lines. I want your answers to those questions. You can also email your questions or comments to us right here in the studio on this Tuesday afternoon, the 25th of November. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Does your church already have a security guard or a metal detector? Or do you know for a fact that there may be something like a church marshal sitting there on Sunday morning? He looks just like you. He's dressed like you, but somewhere on his person, he carries a gun hired by the church to make sure everything remains peaceable during the hour of prayer. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Think about it. A lot of churches have security lights, security cameras. Most nowadays probably have an alarm system of some form. You lock the doors, don't you? Maybe not during the service, but you do lock the doors. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Before we go to this break, and while we wait for your phone calls and your email, here's the latest on the Sunday shooting at a New Jersey church that occasions our conversation. The story's from CBS.
The gunman who went on a rampage inside a Clifton, New Jersey church. The suspect was captured overnight, nearly 800 miles away in Monroe, Georgia. Here's CBS 2's Jay Dow.
Members of the St. Thomas Orthodox Cananiah Church in Clifton are now breathing a sigh of relief following the overnight arrest of Joseph Palapurath. He's the estranged husband accused of shooting and killing his young wife, Reshma James, and a parishioner, Dennis Malosaral, who tried to intervene in the confrontation. Also shot, James's cousin, 47-year-old Sylvie Parenteral, who remains in critical condition. Investigators suspected Palapurath might head south, where he has family. Just before midnight, U.S. Marshals, working with local law enforcement, caught up with the 27-year-old at the Monroe Motor Inn in Monroe, Georgia.
We knocked on the door, and after a couple minutes, he opened the door and stepped outside and said he was Joseph, and that was it.
Deacon Shaju Manomalathu took some time this morning to show us the crime scene, from the bullet holes in the wall and stained glass window to one of the victim's hairpins abandoned on the carpet in the vestibule. He was there during Sunday morning service when the shots rang out.
I don't know what to do. We all panicked. Then the alarm, the shooting going on, we can hear a lot of screaming.
Deacon Manomalathu says the parishioners are eager to get back into the church and resume worship. That healing process begins Thursday evening when the church will hold a private service for the Malisarul family. In Clifton, Jay Dow, CBS 2 News.
Prosecutors say that after driving from California, Polypurath rented a room a few miles away from the church in Patterson.
All right, I want to hear from you. It's time for audio open lines. We want to talk church security. Is it a time for churches to hire security guards, put in metal detectors, perhaps just check you before you walk in? Call now, 1-877-623-6943. I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MY-IE, or send us your email with your questions and your comments as we talk about security in churches. Not eternal security, but the kind of security you find at the mall, the kind of security you find at the grocery store, the kind of security you find at the airport. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, November the 25th. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org.
Life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues, etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His Word firmly and faithfully. Issues, etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by making an online gift today, issuesetc.org, and click Donate. You can also contribute by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Help for Down Syndrome parents.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Kids and adults with Down syndrome are some of the most loving people on the planet. They don't judge others based on looks or income and have a smile for just about everyone they meet. So why would 90% of Down syndrome babies be aborted before they ever have a chance to live? Perhaps out of fear of not knowing what to expect, fear of being different. In response, parents of children with Down syndrome are getting more involved to educate women given this diagnosis. To learn more, visit the National Association for Down Syndrome at NADS.org. That's NADS.org.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Okay, the front page story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch says a gunman bursts into a church sanctuary and opens fire on hundreds of worshipers. You can picture it. It's happened in the news recently. It says they may be rare occurrences, but for many Americans who previously thought of Sunday as a day of rest from the world's evils, such scenarios represent worrisome and increasingly realistic threats to their spiritual ritual. The story goes on to talk about churches that are adding security to Sunday morning. In most cases, it's a security guard, an armed security guard, or members carrying their own weapons for self-defense and for the defense of their fellow parishioners. What do you think? Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines. talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. It's open lines, issues, etc. for the rest of today's program, live this Tuesday afternoon, the 25th of November. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. So do you think the churches today, given the fact that violence can break out even on Sunday morning, among peace-loving Christians simply worshiping their God, do we need security guards? Do we need metal detectors? What about members carrying guns for their own self-defense? What about something like a church marshal, someone who's dressed and not conspicuous, but simply there to protect the fellow parishioners? How much security at church is too much security? What's the right amount? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Let's start with Scott, who's listening in Oakwood, Illinois. Scott, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. I don't have any clear answers on this to offer, but I thought I'd throw in another question just to throw a monkey wrench in the works. If we have armed security guards at church, does that mean Christians are afraid of dying?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, that was a question I posed earlier, a lack of faith. Is it a lack of faith to say, well, we can gather here safely and God will protect us? What do you think, Scott?
Personally, I think it's if a gunman opens fire in a church, that's one thing. We want this person to be stopped. To not defend ourselves, that's just ludicrous, too.
Scott, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. He asks a good question. I raised it before. Does putting up all these security measures on Sunday morning represent a lack of faith? God's supposed to protect us. Is it a lack of faith in God's protection of the people gathered there on Sunday morning? What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. Andy in Kirkwood. Andy, welcome.
Well, you know, I think, Todd, that we ought to build all our churches so that the seating is at an underground level in case there's a tornado. Protect everybody from that. What's the likelihood that somebody's going to come in and shoot up the place? Well, one of the things from a practical standpoint that could be done would be if someone, let's say a lady in the congregation, has had an abusive husband and she's left him and he's threatened her. She should tell the pastor, and then maybe some security would be appropriate. But on a general level, I just don't see it.
Andy, thank you very much. Okay, that's what Andy thinks. Anyone else? 1-877-623-6943. Here's Timothy calling from his car.
How you doing, Pat?
Very well.
I don't think it's a lack of faith at all. I think, you know, God gives us the brains to be protective of ourselves. Our Constitution, even when it was drafted as a Christian nation, our Constitution says the right to bear arms. I don't think it's a lack of faith at all. I think it just would be a wise thing. I think we should do that, just even if not for the adults. You know, we have children to be considerate of. I just think it would be a wise thing. I think there might be a limit to how invasive it might be, but I think it definitely be a thing that needs to be looked into.
All right, Timothy, thank you. And we know how invasive it can be. I mean, go through an airport. You know how invasive regular old security can be. Do you want that in church? Here's Ann in St. Louis. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I think there's a situation where that is warranted. We have some friends that go to a huge church in West County, and on the pastor's birthday, they had the children holding a picture of his face on a stick. So, the pastor, is also friends with movie stars and musicians that are well known. When you set your pastor up like he's a rock star, you're going to attract attention, and you're going to attract some strange people, which happens in their church from time to time. So in that situation, I think it's practical that they do have some security.
How much, Ann? How do you think it should go?
Well, I guess they need this is such a huge, I mean, I think they have over 1,000 people, maybe at a church service, and they can hold more than that at times. So I guess they need some security. The little church I go to that has 100 or maybe 100 people on a Sunday in over several services, I don't think that we need that, but our pastor isn't well known in the way that this pastor is, and frankly, I don't want to be a part of that kind of a church because I've already been in one and I'm finished with it.
Ann, thank you very much. Okay, now she raises an added thing here, and that is some churches are at higher risk. I mean, a little country church might get vandalized by teenagers, but it's less likely with the less number of people in there that there's going to be an incident. And some are more conspicuous. Although I would say that most of the churches that have suffered the shootings have not been gigantic churches. But maybe that's because the gigantic churches already have security. How much security do you want in your church? If you've already got a burglar alarm, locks on the door, security cameras, and lights outside, Do you need more? Do you need a security guard, metal detectors, members carrying guns for self-defense? Do you want it to be more like the airport? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. It's open lines, issues, etc. This Tuesday, November the 25th. Talk back at issuesetc.org. What if your church at the next voters meeting or council meeting was going to consider the question of hiring security guards for Sunday morning? They would simply be there out in the narthex. They might be there outside the doors. They might be there in the church service just to keep the peace. What would you have to say about it? Is this money well spent by your church? 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Congregation I grew up in, oh, this was a couple of years ago, different pastor. What happened? The pastor and a single parishioner had a falling out of some sort. I don't even remember what it was about. But it was quite a falling out, and in the course of that, the man who was unstable started showing up on Sunday morning threatening the pastor, threatening his life, showing up in the middle of the week at the office threatening the pastor, threatening his life. What they had to do was hire an off-duty police officer on Sunday morning to make sure this guy didn't get in the door. They got a restraining order. He couldn't come inside the church or within a certain distance of the pastor, and they had an off-duty police officer there to enforce the order. It didn't last long, but it did last a couple months. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to be talking about the attributes of God, covering who God is, it's not like putting a puzzle together, but talking about who God is and what he does, what he can and can't do. Dr. Stephen Hine will be our guest. But right now we're talking about security. We encounter it in airports and malls and everywhere we go. Heck, even in our dinky little studios here, we have a little bit of security. We got Craig, who's our active security. And then when we leave the place, we got an alarm. We got locks. We're thinking about security. We keep the door locked during the broadcast. What about your church? Is that the way it should be? A little bit concerned about the security. When does it become a bunker mentality? You got to get in through the metal detectors and through the gauntlet of security guards, and then carefully watched over by the security guards, you go to church. And then when you leave, you're back out in the unsafe world. 1-877-623-6943. Joseph in Sussex, Wisconsin. Joseph, welcome.
Hi. I know something my pastor, we talked about this in our Bible study, had said that if while he's in his garments, it would not be right for him to be carrying a gun. However, we also have a police officer in our congregation, and he said that, or my pastor said that he would be fully supportive of the officer to be packing, or I should say carrying.
Joseph, thank you very much. In fact, I think he's required to carry a gun off duty. He's a police officer 24 hours a day, but he's on and off duty. In fact, we were talking earlier with Pastor Ben Ball, and he said he's got several law enforcement personnel in his congregation. He says it's a bit reassuring on Sunday morning to know that there are a couple men out there with firearms if necessary. Should pastors be carrying a gun for security? Should he wear perhaps under his three-piece suit or whatever he wears, his Hawaiian shirt or maybe his vestments, a bulletproof vest? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. It's open lines, issues, etc. It's Tuesday afternoon, November the 25th. We're asking the question about church security. Do we need security guards, metal detectors, maybe a few well-placed firearms in the church? Or should guns simply be forbidden in church altogether? The security guards can be there, whatever, but no guns. Church is no place for weapons. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, another 25 minutes of open lines. You know, when you fly on a plane, there's the church marshal. There's the air marshal. You don't notice him because he's supposed to be inconspicuous, but he's there to protect you. Just in case, do we need church marshals? Just in case. When we come back, we'll get an update on Pastor Ed Young's sex experiment down in Dallas. Stay tuned.
where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
The Gap Theory. Now, what's wrong with it?
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the editors of the New Answers book.
At our Answers in Genesis conference in Edinburgh, Scotland, a young lady came up to me and said, "I believe in the gap theory until I heard you tonight. My fiancé, who's a pastor, told me that I had to fit millions of years and all the dinosaurs in a gap between the first two verses of Genesis." You know, she went on to admit, "Now, this has been a real stumbling block to me. I even started to doubt my salvation. But what you said makes so much sense. This has changed my life." I asked her what convinced her to give up this idea of the gap of millions of years between the first two verses of Genesis. And she explained that she had never thought through the fact that it was Adam's sin that brought death into the world. That she couldn't have billions of dead animals millions of years before sin. You know what? That's just one of the many problems with the gap theory.
Many people try to fit the Big Bang and an old universe into those first two verses of Genesis. But find out how that's all wrong when you watch our fascinating DVD, The Created Cosmos. It makes for some great viewing and something to share with your unsaved family and friends. We'll send this high-quality DVD right out to you when you present a donation of any size to our nonprofit Answers Ministry. Call toll-free, 24 hours a day, 888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or on the web, answersoffer.org.
Okay, from guns in church, security in church, to sex in church. It was a mere week ago, but boy, did it make a splash in the media. Ed Young down in Dallas, pastor of a very large and successful church down there, decided that he announced for everyone to see that he was going to encourage the married couples of his congregation for the next week to have sex with one another every day. He did not specify how often every day, but every day for one full week, seven straight days. And then they would come back and there would be a message on this experiment, as he referred to it. And then they would evaluate their reactions and they would fill out, I think, email their reactions and the lessons learned and things like that after seven straight days of sex at this congregation in Dallas. Many are wondering how it went. We'll find out here in just a minute. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. I want to hear from you on the seven-day sex experiment. It's a good idea, a bad idea? The rationale seems to be, let's start talking about sex in church. It's not a taboo subject for Christians because God invented sex, and that's fine as far as it goes, but does it require seven straight days of sex, little journals filled out, and sermons that deal with sex and very little else but sex? I want to know what you think. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Here's an update from ABC News.
I sat down with a few of the couples who have successfully made it to day six. That is today, almost done. They told us rekindling their sex life has been a real wake-up call on many levels, and the Reverend's not surprised. He calls sex the super glue in any relationship.
Preaching from a bed at his Grapevine, Texas megachurch, Reverend Ed Young had just one challenge for his 20,000-member congregation. Thou shalt have sex again and again.
We're embarking on this sex experiment over the next 7 days.
Sadly, the church has been silent over a topic that God is not silent about. And when you think about it, God is the one who made love. He invented it. And he wants true believers to make love.
And making love more often is what Young says will strengthen marriages. But can a week of sex really improve till death do us part? We checked in with some couples who took on the challenge and are practicing what their pastor's preaching.
I have to ask, how's it going for everybody?
It's going real good.
Home stretch?
Yeah.
And what did you think when Reverend Young got on a bed and said, sex for 7 days?
You think, wow, this will be great and it's going to be easy, but I think it would be easy on a 7-day honeymoon. It's been a lot more challenging than you would think.
Amy Waddell says she was devastated after her husband Cody cheated just 3 months into their 7-month marriage. She says with this challenge, it has given them the opportunity to reconnect and force them to address their intimacy issues.
I think it's been an opportunity for me to really live out and show Cody that I forgive him on a daily basis and that we are in this together, we're working through it. And it's and the sex is actually my physical way of being able to show that to him.
Okay, I want to know what you think about this. There's more of the story from ABC News. We'll play it here in just a second. The plan was set, 7 days of straight sex for the married couples. Apparently, many of them were successful in carrying out 7 straight days of sex. The pastor said that there are going to be lessons learned and marriages strengthened. And he said that the church has been silent on this subject, while God isn't. Is that true? Has the church been silent on the subject of sex? Until Ed Young and all the other pastors who've decided to do this because they're copycats all over the place. In fact, Ed Young isn't the first one. Has the church been silent on the subject of sex for 2,000 years until 7 straight days of sex? Is Ed Young the first one to bring sex into church and say what God has to say about it? I want to hear from you. It's Tuesday, November the 25th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. The logic here is, we haven't been talking about it. God does have something to say about it, so let's start talking about it. And in order to talk about it, let's start doing it. In fact, Ed Young even says God wants us to do it his way, although he didn't specify what God's way of having sex was, except that it had something to do with having sex every day for 7 days. I wonder if anyone asked Pastor Young for a Bible passage upon which he's based his 7-day sex series. If the whole point is to talk about sex in church, what does the church have to say about sex that the church hasn't already said? Has it really been silent? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. I actually listened to the full sermon that Pastor Young preached at the end of the 7 days of sex, and he said several times during that sermon, if you have a problem with me talking about sex in church, you don't have a problem with me, you got a problem with God. And I thought to myself, wow, that's wrong in so many ways. Like, where do you begin? First of all, it assumes that anyone's opposition to doing a 7-day sex experiment would be based upon prudishness or a lack of knowledge of what God has said in his word. But it assumes that the church hasn't had anything to say and that Ed Young is suddenly bringing us the revelation of God on sex. And it also assumes that if God has something to say about anything in particular in Holy Scripture, that we need to spend a lot of time talking about it. Seems to, oh, by the way, no Jesus in his sermon. I noticed it was 34 minutes long. Zero Jesus, zero cross. It was all sex all the time. And pretty much all law. All, this is what you need to do. If you weren't doing it God's way, then you probably left after that sermon on sex at the end of the 7-day sex series feeling like a failure, a sexual failure. Why 7 days? That's what I want to know. It was about a year and a half ago, there was a pastor at a much smaller church someplace off in, I don't know where, who did 30 days. He did a 30-day sex challenge. He wanted his married parishioners to have sex for 30 straight days. Ed Young cut it back to 7. But why 7? Why not 30? Why not 10? Why not 365 days a year? If it really does strengthen marriages, if it really is the super glue that holds the relationship together, there's a big question. Is it? Is sex the super glue that holds a marriage together? Then why not 365 days a year? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I want your thoughts on the 7-day sex series.
Parents of three young children, John and Joy Frank, say their biggest struggle is communication.
I think this has really kind of helped us shut down the PC, turn off the TVs, turn on a little bit of music and just engage in dialogue. And then that eventually leads to intimacy and, a healthy relationship.
After 22 years of marriage and three kids, Brad and Debbie Slaughter find it hard to make time for the bedroom.
The energy level is probably number one, and that's one of the things I've tried this week to focus on is, you know, one day I took a nap or, you know, just making sure I don't spend my last energies doing housework. It's about reconnecting and rekindling.
Studies show that couples who have frequent sex have happier marriages, are more connected, and suffer fewer health problems. But it's not always easy finding time. Married couples between the ages of 18 to 29 have sex an average of twice a week, but that number gradually declines to about once a month for those over 70. An estimated 15% of all couples only have sex 10 times a year.
Some people might see this as a Band-Aid solution.
It's not a Band-Aid. It's just it's a fresh start. You know, it's an opportunity to really just put it into practice, not just stop after the 7 days.
The couple say they found it's the little things that can rekindle that spark, like date night, leaving a note around the house, or even just setting aside time in a hectic schedule.
The Reverend asked his members to keep journals, but he doesn't plan to ask who made it to day 7. Diane, there is one person who did not make it to day 7, the Reverend himself.
Oh, really? I confess that?
He was part of the experiment, the sex experiment, and his assistant told me this has gotten so much attention. His wife woke him up on day 5, and he was too burned out.
Well, it was an interesting challenge to pose, and so interesting that they're willing all to come forward and talk about it.
Very honest.
Thanks, Andrea.
Okay. Mixed results from the sex experiment. I didn't know that Ed Young didn't make it all the way through 7 days. It is typical, though, of this kind of preaching, this kind of sermon series, that it starts out with, hey, I've got something to tell you. I'm pulling it off, and I'm going to show you how to do it, too. The pastor does set himself up as an ideal, even though he may not intend to do that. So often it is the pastor who sets himself up as, hey, I'm the guy who's doing it. I'm the guy who's pulling it off. I'm making it happen. I'm actually accomplishing this, and I'm here to show you how to do it. In fact, there are an awful lot of churches where that's all it really is, whether they're talking about sex or finances or raising children or living the Christian life or whatever it is. The pastor's the expert, and he's there to teach you. What I want to know is what, either in the results or in the actual implementation of this sex experiment at this church, what was offered here any different than what you could get by going to secular marriage counseling where they said, I don't know, try having sex for 7 days. See what happens. Is there anything explicitly Christian about this? Since the sermons, neither the one that kicked it off or the ones that ended it, had anything to do with Christ. Couldn't Dr. Phil give you just as much good advice on sex experiments? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, 10 minutes on the other side of this break. To talk about the sex experiment, its results. Do you think that sex strengthens marriage? And do you think that the church has really been silent on sex? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday, November the 25th. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc. Your calls, your email after this. We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues, etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues, etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. IssuesETC.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes of today's broadcast. We're talking about the sex experiment carried out by Ed Young and his congregation down in Dallas, in the Dallas area. He says that sex strengthens marriages, it's a super glue that holds a relationship together, and that the church has been silent where God has spoken, and the church needs to be silent no more on the issue of sex. So 7 straight days of sex between husbands and wives. I don't know what singles do. I don't know what people who are widowed do. I don't know what the children do. But it's for the married couples, it's 7 straight days of sex there at that church. What do you make of it? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback at issuesetc.org. Barbara in Houston, Texas. Hi, Barbara.
Yes, I would just like to voice my opinion of the sermon that you're describing. I just would find it very objectionable to be in the congregation with my children, as you were just pointing out. Who is this sermon for, but for a small, or maybe not small, but a segment of the congregation? And what about the singles of all ages and the children and the elderly? That what do they get from this message that is of help to them in their walk with Christ? So that's just what I'd like to contribute to the
Barbara,
conversation.
Thanks, Barbara. Thanks for listening, Houston. I don't have an answer for that question. I honestly don't. I mean, I do commend Pastor Young for limiting this to the married people in the congregation. He's wise to do that, and who would expect anything else? But not everyone's married, and not everyone is capable of engaging in this experiment. So I guess they were just casual observers of everyone else and all of their insights. Although you got to wonder, how would it be relevant to children, except maybe in the future, maybe you can try this yourself when you're married, or two singles, you know, in the future, maybe in the nearer future, you can try this. If you're widowed or single for some other reason, obviously this leaves you out. You can't engage in this experiment. The insights that are gained there are not for you. Josh in St. Louis emails us. He says, I've heard of the pulpit, the altar, and the baptismal font in the chancel referred to as liturgical furniture. Funny that Ed Young probably neglects these but has no problem rolling a bed up on the stage. Yes, it is telling that a church that would eschew the ordinary furnishings of the church that have a real function in the church, like the Lord's Supper and baptism and preaching, would opt to have a bed in church to kick off and to conclude the 7-day sex experiment. Let me just offer this thought on the 7-day sex experiment before we go to some other email. It should always be a red flag to you folks if your pastor preaches a sermon that doesn't require Jesus dead on the cross for you to make sense or to work. If the sermon's perfectly good and makes perfect sense and is perfectly useful to you, if Jesus isn't there, if he never lived and never died for you, then it's not a Christian sermon. You should always be concerned if, say, in the 7th-day sex experiment, you don't need Jesus for it to work. You certainly don't need Jesus to die on the cross and rise again for it to work. I guess it's just a matter of simple mechanics. Thank you, Jesus. You can sit this one out. We're going to talk about sex for 7 days. Thank you, Jesus. You can take this Sunday off. Because we're not going to talk about you or what you did. We're going to talk about ourselves and what we did for the last 7 days. That should be a red flag for you. Whether it's sex or any other subject that's made to substitute for Christ and Him crucified. Anytime your preacher gives Jesus the week off or the month off or Sunday off, there's a problem. This email comes from Montana, Billy in Montana, on the issue of church security. He says, we're members at a very small church in a small community. One member had been a police officer in one of our largest cities. He carried a firearm all the time, including to church. It was not public knowledge. Small communities are not immune to problems. We had some pretty strange people show up at the door every so often. Churches are where the transients show up, especially in small towns. That's true. Airport-style security, says Billy? No. That would be more than I would want to go through, and it would turn people away. A quiet presence is more appropriate. If it could be done without too much publicity, that would be best. Just my humble opinion. Billy, thank you, and thanks for listening in Montana. Mark in Sioux City, Iowa, says, if we have just a few more well-publicized church attacks, God forbid, maybe we can get a government grant to pay for metal detectors or off-duty officers and crisis intervention training for our ushers. Well, we would hope that there aren't going to be any more security problems in churches, but the question stems from the fact that there are, in this world, needs for security. But we would pray, and even though it's not there, we would pray that God would protect us, even if we don't have any security in our churches. Well, I think we got a little time here at the very end of this Tuesday's broadcast to listen to a little bit, just a tiny bit, of our Issues Etc. listener comment line. We have this comment line open 24 hours, 365 days a year, just for you. The number, by the way, 618-223-8384. It's our Issues Etc. listener comment line. People call us with criticisms and questions and suggestions, leave them there, and every once in a while we draw them off and we play them for you. 618-223-8384. It's time to hear your comments. This first comment from the Issues Etc. listener comment line has to do with the election.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm one of your beloved on-demand listeners, and I was calling to leave a comment regarding your conversation with Representative Shimkus yesterday. I was actually born and raised and educated in Illinois and moved down to Nashville about 4.5 years ago, and I've since then referred to myself as a displaced Yankee, but after the elections Tuesday night, I think I will refer to myself as a proud Tennessean. The Republicans took over the state legislature for the first time since Reconstruction, and Senator Alexander won 94 out of 95 counties, and Senator McCain did well himself. But all of this was done on a proudly pro-life and pro-family platform, and I'd just like to encourage Representative Shimkus and his Illinois colleagues to come down, and maybe state Republican Party can teach him a thing or two to help him get things turned around up in Illinois. Thanks for your program and the ministry that you have on there.
And thank you very much for leaving your comment as well, for listening down there in Tennessee, and for being one of our beloved on-demand listeners. We do love them so. Yeah, that pro-life, pro-family thing. When we talked earlier with Mark Hemingway, he said if any party wants to understand the future of America, it needs to understand that it's got to be on the right side of history when it comes to especially life, but also the family. Well, there's time for one more call from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Here's a show suggestion from a listener in Illinois.
I have a suggestion following on Dr. John Warwick's Montgomery's five series on apologetics, defending the Christian faith. He gave me a thought, one of them, that in refuting some of the arguments of the Seminex professors against the truth of Scripture, it might be interesting to have a series where the arguments that these Seminex professors brought to the forefront are refuted conclusively and with detail in all facets, so that that might be an opportunity to focus on following on that, because these liberal arguments are pervasive in the society and churches today, and that just might be a thought, that lining up the arguments for the unity and of Isaiah, the accuracy of Scripture, and all facets be brought, that these professors tried to debunk the Bible on to say it has errors in it. That might be a good point to develop some future programs and just focus right on that.
Thank you, Herman. I can think of no one better than Dr. John Warren Montgomery. In fact, during the battle for the Bible in my own Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, he was key in responding to many of the arguments that were put forth by then-liberal Bible scholarship within the church body. He did it very ably. I'm sure he'll still be able to do it for us. By the way, feel free to call the Issues Etc. listener comment line 24/7 any day with questions or criticisms or suggestions. 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. This email in late from Lael says, although blessed with many within the confines of marriage, sex isn't the glue that holds marriage together. Christ is. Attending divine service and partaking of Christ's holy, precious body and blood together is what keeps me glued to my wife and keeps our communication open. Don in Kansas says, when Jesus is not at the center of worship, anything people want to hear is the center. They're both quite right. Do you know what's happened? There was a sleight of hand on Ed Young's part. I don't think he even intended it, but he did it nonetheless. In a very public way, sad to say, he replaced Jesus with sex. In his sermon, in the series, in the lives of the people who believed him when he said, sex is a superglue that holds your relationship together. No, it isn't. Is sex a good gift of God? Yes, it is. But it's not the glue that holds husband and wife together. Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins is. That's what was missing, tragically, tragically missing from 7 days of sex. Maybe the church should try 7 days of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.